It meant a lot to me to be able to come here tonight and speak to you. I'll tell you what I told Pastor Thomas. Y'all like to suffer, bringing me up here again. That was, just couldn't get enough the first time, could you? When he asked me to preach again, he asked if I had a message, and I'll be real honest with you, I didn't, but in the time that it took me to walk back to my car, the words responsible community popped in my head.
Amen.
And I believe it was God talking to me. It's hard these days to tell which voice is which in my head, but I believe it was God.
Amen.
But nevertheless, that's what I'm going to preach on tonight, and I think it ties into what I preached about the first time, being a loving servant, and taking those lessons, and taking being a loving servant, and applying that to what we do in our everyday lives, whether it be at our job, whether it be here at church, in our households, whether it be just going through Walmart. Things that I think are important that God gave us so that we could live by a certain standard, and we have certain lessons. So if you will join me in a word of prayer before we begin. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for allowing me to preach your word. Father, I'm not worthy of it, Lord, to stand here in front of your people, Lord, and to speak your word, but I know that it is because of your grace, your love, your mercy, your kindness, Lord, that you forgive me of my iniquities, my shortcomings, Lord. That you allow us to even read your word, Lord, to be able to get lost in it, Lord, to understand what it is to be in your presence, Lord, your love, your kindness, and your mercy, your forgiveness, Lord. I hope tonight that I speak the words the way you want them to be spoke, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
I hope, Lord, that I am able to touch someone's heart, Lord, through your works, Lord. It is not me, it is you, Lord. And I can't thank you enough for that. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen.
So, a lot of verses came to my mind when I was trying to figure out the best way to be able to put together a message about responsible community. First, we'll start off with the definitions of responsibility and community. Responsibility, an adjective having an obligation to do something or having control over or care for someone as part of one's job or role, being the primary cause of something and so able to be blamed or credited for it. Community, a group of people living in the same place or having a particular characteristic in common, a feeling of fellowship with others as a result of sharing common attitudes, interests, and goals. I think if you read any of the books that Paul puts together, he talks about specific churches, whether it be Galatia, Thessalonica, 1 Corinthians is 1 and 2 are both about specific churches and the problems that they go through. But in these chapters, we learn how to handle problems within our communities. We learn how to handle strifes between brothers and sisters and the things that we'll see even in our church life. The first, I'll have you turn to Romans chapter 12. We'll also be in Romans 13. I won't have you turn to all the chapters we're going to go over tonight. But I want to start off in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. I want to go over the verses that kind of lay out the characteristics of a responsible community, at least a biblical one. Hebrews 10, 24, 25. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Then I'm going to go over to Romans chapter 12, starting in verse 6, and we're going to go all the way down to verse 18. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth or on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, he that soweth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation, abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionated to one another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another, not slothfulness in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not, rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward one another, mind not high things, but consent to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits, recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things in the sight of all men, if it be possible, as much lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. So I just wanted to start out with those verses because it talks about, firstly, about the gifts that we're given by God. We each have our roles, whether it is to teach, whether it's to minister, our particular trades. What we don't realize is the things that we do on a daily basis do affect our communities. It doesn't matter what it is, whether you're a truck driver, whether you are a minister, whether you're an architect, an engineer, a police officer, construction worker. What you do affects your community directly, sometimes indirectly. Going through these verses, I realized that God lays out a very sensible plan for us, and sometimes I think it's easy to miss what he's trying to lay out for us. In Hebrews 10, he's talking about us remembering to assemble ourselves together, to remember to embrace our communities, to remember to be around one another, whether it be in church, whether it be in our everyday life, so that we can help each other and be there to serve one another. In Romans 12, we were talking about many different things about the gifts that God gives us and how we use those for not only his word, but to bring light into what is a very dark world. I, for one, believe that this message is very important because right now this country is probably having one of the worst years we've ever had, personally. Whether it be spiritually, whether it be economically, whether it be you're talking about a pandemic that we haven't seen the likes of in the last 100 years, we are having a lot of trouble. Amen. But I think that what people get lost in is in these troubles, God is testing us. Amen. There's a reason for the things that God does, and while it may seem that we are being punished, we know that he does not punish us. I firmly believe that the reason we're going through the things that we're going through is because he wants to see how we react when we're faced with adversity.
Amen.
Do we turn against one another, or do we walk in love and compassion? Are we merciful to those who do not agree with us? Are we forgiving to those who wrong us? Things that he teaches us and he wants us to live with. And I'll be honest with you, brothers and sisters, I believe that this is the greatest in the world, but this pandemic has scared me. Not just in the sense that you can get sick and die. Not in the sense that people are suffering. But in a sense that it's shown us just how little compassion we have. It showed us just how little we care about our fellow man. It has shown us that in times of our most trouble, when we are supposed to band together to be there for one another, to walk in love, to have kindness, to have forgiveness, to have mercy for one another, we tend to be very, very, very wicked. And it's not just pandemic that has just brought it out. It's something that we've always had. It's just it takes a little bit of push before it comes out. We have protesting. We have riots in the street. We have buildings being burned down. We have cops being shot. We have innocent people being shot. We have people who are robbing, stealing, cheating, lying to get whatever they can to be able to survive. The reality of it is as far as our community is concerned, whether it be in church, whether it be your state, your town, or this country as a whole, we have been very irresponsible. We forgot to embrace the community that God embraces. He's very, very clear on the things that we're supposed to do. He's very clear on how we should love one another, how we should be kind to one another. In Mark chapter 12, verse 31, 30 and 31, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as they love themselves. There is none other commandment greater than these." Now God gives us a pretty good amount of rules and laws to abide by. Now we know, and you can do more research into this, into 1 Corinthians. Paul goes into this quite in depth. We're not held to the standard of God's law. Because if we were, none of us would be here. We'd all be in hell. So, and God realized that, and he knew. And in the Old Testament, we see how we constantly fail to uphold God's law. I think we get 5 chapters into Genesis, and we've already messed everything up. And we're still doing it today.
Amen.
So, and God knew all these things before it happened. And he had a plan for it. That's why we have our Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
But I think we've taken the, well, God forgives us, just a little too far. I think there needs to be some kind of responsibility in realizing that while we're not held to the standard of the law and that we have grace and God forgives us of our iniquities and our sin, we've taken it just a little too far in the sense that we need to be reminded that even though we're not held to the standard of law, He expects us to abide by it and to uphold it so that we can live godly lives. And I think that we fail to realize that time and time and time again. That there's a lot of rules that we have, and He knows that we can't uphold all these rules because we are sinners. Which is why He allows us to have His forgiveness, His grace, His mercy. Because He knows that we impossibly cannot stand up to that.
Right.
Our goal is to have the image of His Son, Jesus Christ, who came here to save us and be able to take that weight of the law off of us, that we will have forgiveness as long as we believe within Him.
Man.
But it's still very interesting to me that we seem to forget the most important laws that He teaches us. I don't expect us to be able to walk with all those laws. God doesn't expect us, so why should I?
Man.
But what I do expect is there be a level of care and responsibility.
Amen.
Not just in our personal lives, but how we interact with people all around us.
Amen.
And I'll be really honest with you, brothers and sisters. I don't feel like we can be disappointed in those who are lost. They don't have a book that tells them exactly what to do. We do. What has disappointed me most is how Christians have acted during this time of trouble and tribulation. We're the ones that have the instruction manual to tell us exactly what to do and how to uphold what God wants us to do. And somehow, some way, we've messed that up too. I don't expect those who are lost, I expect those who are lost to be able to find God in some way. Of course, that is also our job to be able to witness to people and let God win them. But I think the way that we go about it has been pretty dismal. I think that if you look at the way that we are handling things, especially in this time, and I think it was going on before the pandemic, before racial discrimination, before economic troubles, before everything else that's going on in the world right now, it just took a little bit of pressure for it to find out.
Amen.
I think that it's sad the way that we've handled things. I do want to do a little social experiment. I want everybody to close their eyes. I'm going to take a poll. It's just me so I can know exactly where everyone stands. If you will, just close your eyes for me for just a brief second. By show of hands, if you believe that you should attend church regularly, you should abide by God's laws, and you should tithe regularly, please raise your hand now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, I ask this question. How many of you, by show of hands, expect a lost person, a person who's not saved, a person who does not know the word, how many of you, by show of hands, expect them to come to church, tithe regularly, and obey God's laws? Okay, you can open your eyes. It went exactly how I thought it would go. Everybody in this room raised their hand saying that, yes, we should do exactly what God tells us to. We should tithe. We should follow God's laws. When I asked if someone who's lost, do you expect them to be able to uphold God's laws? Do you expect them to attend church regularly? Do you expect them to tithe? No one raised their hand. So we know that living correctly is living in God's word. Not necessarily us in this room, but there seems to be a large concentration of Christians who expect people who don't know anything about nothing to be able to abide to rules that they know nothing about. Which to me reveals a deeper problem, that we as Christians are not witnessing the way we're supposed to.
Man.
So you put it, you transfer responsibility on people that you can't expect to understand responsibility because they don't follow in God's word.
Right.
So it's our responsibility to create an environment that is not only responsible for us, but it's responsible for those who are lost. Because if we foster that environment, we will be able to win them more easily.
Amen.
And have them follow the word. The way that we're doing it isn't working. I see time and time again where you see pastors, you see evangelists, you see people who are supposed to be of God's word who preach in a very angry manner. who preach in a word that they seem to focus on ideologies and philosophies, whether it be political or what they deem as moral or whatever it may be. And the problem with that is, the problem with focusing on political ideologies is that, and this is coming from somebody with a degree in political science, politics is of hell. So when you start bringing political ideology in the church, it's never going to work. It doesn't matter if you're conservative or you're liberal, it's never going to work. Because as somebody who's been on both sides of the aisle, there's nothing good about either party.
Amen. Amen.
So we get lost in the fact that everything's red and blue. We get lost in the fact that, well, this is the conservative way, this is the liberal way. That doesn't matter to God. He doesn't care. What he cares about is that we love one another, that we're able to show compassion to one another. So tonight I want to talk about the irresponsibility that we've shown, especially in times like this, where we can't put aside political ideology, where we can't put aside our differences, where we can't understand that at one time the only difference between us and people who are lost is the fact that we found Jesus. Amen. That's the only thing that separates us,
right,
is that we were able to get into the Word.
Amen.
That's the only thing that separates us. We've been saved. And that's through God's, Amen, that's through God's mercy and
Amen.
Grace, not because we deserved it.
Amen. Amen.
But for some reason, there's a sentiment in this country that believes that Christians tend to look down on other people. There's a sentiment in this country that Christians tend to err to one side. They're not really concerned about how you feel. They're concerned about what they can force on you. And that's a problem. It may not seem like a problem, and some of you are probably looking at me thinking, this man's lost his mind. But the reality of it is that what we're doing is not working. It's our responsibility to foster environments that uphold God's word, that uphold God's teaching. We have failed miserably in that aspect. I want to go to another verse that I think sums up a lot of what I just said, and that's James 2:26. It's one of my favorite verses. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without work is dead also. What God's saying there, and correct me if I'm wrong, what God's saying there is that you can believe all you want. You can walk around, and I'm a Christian, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, and I give my 10%, and I go to church every Sunday, and if you go to work on Monday, and you're cussing, and lying, and cheating, and stealing, and all the other crap that the rest of the world does, you've accomplished absolutely nothing.
Right.
If you don't love one another, if you're not showing compassion to one another, if you're not serving your brothers and sisters in God, as well as trying to witness to those who are lost, then you have accomplished nothing. Your faith is worth nothing.
Right.
What we know is that we serve a loving God, we serve a compassionate God, we serve a merciful God, but we serve a very hard-working God. A very hard-working God. It takes a lot of strength to be able to forgive somebody over and over and over and over and over every single day. And he expects us to just a little bit of that, just a little bit of what he does every day, every second, for 7 billion people, whether they love him or not. And he still blesses them. And for some reason, we can't do just a little bit of that.
Yeah.
Just a little bit of that.
That's right.
And it's shocking. Right. It's shocking to me. God paints a very clear picture of what a responsible community is. He tells us to love one another. He tells us to be compassionate. He tells us to visit the fallow and the widows in their affliction. He tells us to share our gifts that he has given us among one another. He tells us to not judge, lest we be judged. To not condemn, lest we be condemned. Yet somehow, some way, we find a way to do exactly the opposite of those things. I think it's very important to preach every Sunday about God's law and how we should follow it. I think it's important for us to talk about those who are doing wicked things. I think it's important to say, to bring attention to things that are demonstrative in our community, like Pastor Thomas has done for the last 2 weeks, and he'll continue to do. Same way Pastor Tadlock did last Sunday, and every Sunday before then, as long as I know that I've been a part of this church, it's very important. Very important. And they do a great job of it, and I'll be honest with you, I'm nervous because I have to follow in the footsteps of two great men that I have a lot of respect for. And I try to as best as I can is try to preach the same way they do, because I think they do it as good as any man that isn't Jesus or an apostle could do. They preach the word, they preach the truth. And they fostered an environment here in this church where we all love one another. Amen. If one of us is hurt, one of us is down, we don't have a problem banding together. Man. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Man.
It's never been a problem. So in fostering that community that we fostered here, in growing that community, it's our job to take the teachings that these two men give us and walk out those doors and do the same thing. And I hope to God, and I know that it's not always true, but I hope that pastors all across this country are doing the same thing. Unfortunately, they're not. But growth and change has to start somewhere.
Man. Amen.
And if it has to be us, then by God, amen, let's do it.
Amen, brother.
But the reality of it is that Christians as a community, as a whole, regardless of what denomination, it is our job to foster these responsible communities. I know it seems like a lot to put on a particular group of people, but you don't have to spend a long time in this book to realize that regardless of how you look at it, whether you're lost or not, this is a religion based on a God who suffered for us, who sent his only son to suffer for us, to hang on a cross until he died for us.
Amen.
This is a religion based on love. This is a religion based on compassion. This is a religion based on mercy. But somehow, people view us in a different light. So when I preach tonight, I'm not really preaching to lost people. I'm preaching to saved people. I'm preaching to a community that has been irresponsible. I'm preaching to a community that has failed, even though they have a book that tells them exactly what they need to do. Now, I'm not telling you tonight that I follow in these things. I work for the town of Hope Mills. I do a lot of things that I don't want to do, a lot of things that I think could be different. I work with a lot of great people. I see a lot of bad things. I get angry. I do a lot of things I don't want to do. I'm slothful. I glutton. I have wrath. I have pride. I have rage. I have lust. I have the hairline to prove it. We can't get lost in the fact that we have responsibilities. And that's something that I think that we've lost as a community.
Amen.
I want to go to what's my favorite verse first, and then I'm going to go to the message I think really rings everything home. It's Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. You don't have to turn there. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. And then if you'll turn over to Romans chapter 13, verses 8 through 10. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet, and if there be any commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law. In creating a responsible community, in creating an image for Christians, and in enabling us to do the right things, we have to understand that as many rules as we have, as many laws as God puts before us, it all boils down to one thing. Everything that God teaches boils down to one thing. Love. That's all it boils down to. Your first commandment is to love thy God with all thy heart. Your second commandment is to love your neighbor as you love yourself. That's the first two commandments. And I strongly believe that there's a reason why those are the first two commandments. Because if you walk in love, if you believe in God, and you listen to his teaching, you don't have to worry about not sinning. You just have to walk in love. If you walk in love and you have faith, you don't have to worry about every day I'm not gonna cuss, I'm not gonna do this, I'm not gonna do that. Because if you walk in love, it takes care of itself. If you walk in love for yourself, if you walk in love for God, if you walk in love for your fellow man, regardless of their ideologies, You don't have to worry about sin anymore.
Amen.
It makes it impossible. It's not possible for you to walk in that amount of love. Just a little bit of what God walks in every day. It's not possible to hate your brothers and sisters. It's not possible to be able to give in to ideologies and philosophies and care what political party someone's a part of. It's not possible to do any of those things if you walk in true love, undefiled before God. And he knew that. If you pay attention to nothing else, you just have to remember that in order to be able to contain those worldly desires, that if you walk in love the way that God asks us to walk in love, you will not have to worry about it. That if you get up every day and you have in your mind that I'm going to walk in just a little bit of the love that God has for me, you will never have to worry about anything else. Now, I'm not saying that this is going to make it easy. It's hard. It's hard to follow that guy because he makes no mistakes.
Amen.
He's perfect. And he has more love than our tiny minds can comprehend.
Amen.
But he never gives us more than we can handle. And anything that he does to test us, anything he does to show us how he feels, he does it because he wants to see how we're going to react. He knows how we're going to react, but he wants us to see it too. And I'll be honest with you, the real thing that I want to drive home tonight is talking about the state of this country. We failed miserably. We are doing so bad, and it's just so unbelievable. And I don't want to be that pessimistic guy, but the reality is if you look around, you start to realize that it's turning into a dumpster fire.
Man.
We have one of the most important elections coming up in our country's history.
Man.
And I'll be real honest with you, and I've been trying to make sure no one's packing before I say this. I have no faith. I have no faith in either one of those men. None. And I'm not questioning God when I say that. I'm not questioning God. He knows who to put in charge. The reason he's putting him in charge, though, I tend to be a little bit skewed on. I have no faith in either one of those men. I think one of them is a lying racist. I think the other one is a rich lying racist. You don't have to agree with me. It's my opinion. But I think that if you fundamentally look down to things, if you boil it down and you take Republican and Democrat out, if you take red and blue, you take political ideology out, you take all those trigger words, socialism, communism, capitalism, all that stuff that really doesn't matter, you start to see there's a lot of cracks in the foundation. And I wholeheartedly believe in this country, and I think it's the greatest country in the world, but pretending that we don't have a problem just creates a bigger problem. And I believe that it's our job as Christians in this country to be able to foster a responsible community.
Man.
A community that we don't have, and I don't think we've had in a very long time. A community that is based on love, that is based on faith, that is based on compassion, that is based on focusing on winning people to Christ, that is focused on being able to do what we need to do to foster a country that walks in just a little bit of God's love. And as long as we pay attention to our ideological lines and philosophies, as long as we put stock in what another man says, whether he's running for president, governor, senator, or anything else, we're not doing very good. Because I'll be very honest with you, I don't think there's anybody on any level running for any office or trying to do anything that really amounts to solving all of our problems. And if you expect that one guy is going to walk in the White House and fix all of our problems, it's never going to happen.
Man.
The way things get fixed is because we create loving environments. The way things get fixed is because we band together as one people, regardless of our views, to be able to do what's necessary for the betterment of our society. And I strongly believe that it is our job as Christians to lead that charge. As I said before, I don't expect, and by polling, you don't expect either, for lost people to understand that we have an instruction manual. But we do.
Amen.
And it's our job to uphold that. It's our job to walk in that as best as we can. I'm not telling you we're not going to fail. We're going to fail. We're not going to be able to fix all our problems overnight. What I am telling you is that if we don't do something right now, there's going to be no hope for us. The only hope that we have is that the day that Jesus Christ comes back to earth.
Amen.
And I'm looking forward to it, don't get me wrong. I can't wait. I want to see what he's got in store for me. But, I want to try to make the most of the time that he's given me.
Amen.
And I would hope that every Christian who has read this book and has spent any time in prayer with the one true God understands that he wants the same thing. That while he loves you no matter what, he loved you while you were sinning, he loves you saved, he wants you to do these things for him. He wants you to do those things for yourself. And he wants you to do those things for each other. As I said before, I think if you take anything from this lesson tonight, it's that if you just follow in love, if you put aside differences, if you put aside views, if you take all those things out of it, it becomes very easy to realize that we're all kind of in the same boat, whether we want to be or not. While we're in this boat, we might as well do something good. We might as well witness to people. We might as well love people. We might as well show compassion. We might as well visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction. We might as well do things that are unselfish of us and make the best of the time that we have and create a responsible community. I thank y'all for listening to me tonight, and I hope that there was something in this rambling that I did for the last 35 minutes that somebody learned something. That what I've tried to ring home is something that you understand where I'm coming from. If we want to use words that the news wants to use, it's important that we remember to have a conservative mind and a liberal heart. Amen. It's important to us to remember that at the end of the day, we don't answer to parties, we don't answer to presidents, we don't answer to elected officials. At the end of the day, the only obligation that we have is to God Almighty. Amen. And he's been very clear on how to oblige those obligations. Father, tonight I thank you once again for allowing me to preach your word, Lord, and I hope that I did justice tonight. I hope I preached exactly what you wanted me to preach, Lord. I hope tonight that there's someone lost in this crowd, whether it be on Facebook, it be here in this building, Lord, that they are saved, Lord, that they get right with you. I hope that if there's a Christian here tonight that's tired and lost in their faith, that they understand that you love them, Lord, that you have mercy, that you will forgive them, that you have unlimitless kindness. I hope tonight, Lord, that any Christian understands the message that we have to walk in love, that to truly, truly be your children, we have to be selfless, compassionate, kind, merciful. Above all else, Lord, that we serve you. I thank you, Lord, for all you've done for me, Lord. Thank you for these people, for these pastors, for the life you've given each and every one of us, Lord. And we can't thank you enough. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.